I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is our best bet show for week 12. If you're listening to this, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you are still full. Hope you're slathering up a turkey sandwich with stuffing and cranberry sauce on a bunch of like toasted white bread and about to go back into a coma to watch football all day Friday, probably all day Saturday, and then definitely all day Sunday. Hope you won all your bets. Hope we won all our bets. Joining me now to break down the Week 12 slate, RJ White and Pete Prisco. What's up, fellas?
Not much. I'm excited to see how this goes with no Debo here and Pete having, you know, to mess with his audio. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, so it'll be fine. Pete's in the studio because he's got to do work because Pete grinds for CBS Sports HQ. You can watch it 24/7 streaming sports network. We're going to rip through every single game on the slate.
You know, we could have done it on Thursday, but certain people aren't working on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, me. people need, I guess we could have done it on Thursday. I could work on Thursday.
Yeah, sure you could have.
Yeah. I'm only going one place on Thursday now, so it's not the end of the world. But let's dive into it. We got a big slate, which got bigger on Wednesday when it was announced that the Ravens and Steelers game was moved off of Thursday night into Sunday's slate, TBD on who will broadcast it. Hot take, Pete. I like two games on Thanksgiving better than three.
You do? I don't.
You come with work earlier.
Well, because I'm working until 4 o'clock, 4:30 or whatever, 5, and I'd like to get home and sit down and relax and watch a game. But now they don't have anything, so I got to – switch over to college football. I think there's a college game at 7 o'clock. I think New Mexico, I think, is playing on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I don't like this. And it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. But I definitely like three on Thursday. And so I did plan on watching New Mexico.
Well, what do you think about this game in particular? I would guess that now the line drifts a little bit closer to 3, and RJ can correct me if I'm wrong here. It got as high as 5, then came back down to 4. One would think that, I guess, J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram won't be playing because they tested positive instead of just being on the close contact list. But assuming the Ravens can get everybody there, have more practice time, or at least have more time to prep, I would guess that the line is closer to 3. Let's say 3 and 45 for the sake of this podcast. Who do you like, Pete?
I like the Steelers. I think the Ravens are a mess. I think they're a mess in a lot of ways. And, I think they need to allow Lamar Jackson, I wrote that on Thursday, to throw more on first down. They got to let him loose. Let him play free. Yeah, they run the ball. It's great and everything. But this is a passing league. And he needs to get loose on first down. And until they show me that they do that, I'll take the Steelers minus the points.
I like the Ravens coming into the week, as we talked about on the Thanksgiving podcast that we did. I had the Ravens plus 3.5, and then 8 minutes later, the COVID news came out, and I was like, well, I got to stick with it now because it's already up. Now that the game is canceled or postponed, you know, that cancels everyone's bet, so now I don't have that anymore. So the logic would be, yeah, tripping to 3, you should probably like the Ravens again. I don't know, though. I think the Steelers are using this as motivation now. This is NFL is screwing us with the schedule every single week. We lost our bye. Now we lost our mini bye that we were going to get after this game. You know, we're never going going to get a real break this season. I think this is the kind of thing that rallies teams together. Like when New England gets Tom Brady suspended and the players don't think it's fair, and that becomes a big old rallying point for the team there. So I could see the Steelers really using this as motivation, come out and just beating the tar out of the Ravens. Cause even though they might get more players back, they're going to get some of the close contact tracing back. But I think 7 players have already tested positive from what the news reports say as of Wednesday. Those guys aren't coming back. They're not going to get enough negative tests to clear for a Sunday game. So you're still going to be shorthanded when you're the Ravens. Steelers, with that motivation factor, I think they probably win this game.
Yeah, I want to take the Ravens with the plus the points, because it's typically in these matchup games between the Ravens and the Steelers. If you've taken the points over the past years, you've done pretty well. But at the same time, I'm with you. I think it's very concerning how well the Steelers are playing and how poorly the Ravens have played, not just in terms of, you know, their defense not being as good as it was last year, but more importantly, the offense. I mean, Greg Roman's in his own head. Dude can't commit to something. And I don't know if he's being told to develop Lamar as a pocket passer, but they had a 21-10 lead against the Titans and started throwing downfield. Like, that doesn't make any sense. That's not what you do well. I think the Steelers can come back on them if they need to. So I will probably lean towards the Steelers as well. I think I'd probably rather get the Steelers in a moneyline parlay. I'd like the idea of them in a money line parlay with Washington. But you know, that's not going to happen, because, I mean, you can still do it, I guess. It just can't do it on Thanksgiving, which is sort of takes the fun out of it. So no best bet here for me. Hard for anybody to have a best bet here, because we don't really know what the line is. Let's move along to another game. The Bears and Packers will play on Sunday night. We have the Chicago. I'm clearly very prepared for this podcast. We have the Chicago Bears as huge dogs in Green Bay. Green Bay -8.5. The total is 45. This is a pretty huge game for Chicago, Pete, because they've lost a bunch of games in a row. What do you like in this game?
This is a hard game for me. The Bears are terrible on offense, and usually the teams that give the Packers problems are the teams that are good on offense and can run it. And, you know, they can't run it at all. But the Bears are good at defense. So if I don't love the game, but if I had to lean, I would lean to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers bouncing back. But again, what's the Bears offense? What are they going to give them? Are they going to give them anything? I can't go that way. I know 8.5 is a lot of points, but I'd probably lean to the Packers. I don't love it either way.
This is a spot where I probably should like the Bears. You know, they had success. I'm done. I'm off the Bears bandwagon. I'm done picking it. The Green Bay offense has been able to score against good defenses, other than that Tampa game where they had 10 points, but they played a bunch of other good defenses. They played Indy last week and they scored 31. I'm not worried about the matchup. Chicago's offense hasn't had any success lately, even in good matchups, even when they should have had some success. Cause it's like it's like playing Madden on beginner level or rookie level, whatever it's called. That's what they got in those matchups, and they still couldn't do anything. So can they score more than 17 or 20 here? I don't think they can. I mean, they might even get to that range, but I think that's the absolute max. And I think Green Bay, with their success against good defenses, can still get to the high 20s, 30s. So it's a big number in a divisional game for Green Bay. I think they probably cover the 8.5, but I'm going to make that part of my teaser just to be safe. Get them under the field goal. Packers -2.5. Gotta love that one.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The last few weeks, the Packers have been heavily featured in everybody's teasers, including like y'all's and people I know who are sharp bettors. And they didn't need it. You didn't really need the teaser. It didn't work out very well. I guess you needed it against Green Bay. Right. Actually, against Indianapolis last week. So that was good to have as a teaser. Yeah. And I think it's smart to have him in a teaser here too. Nick Foles is not afraid to throw some crap, you know, garbage time touchdown late in the game to, you know, manage to screw up the 8.5 cover. And so as a result, I think that's a really smart idea to put Green Bay as a prominent teaser team. I don't see how they lose to this Bears squad. I just think Chicago's too defeated right now and feels that their season's slipping away. Home game in prime time for Aaron Rodgers is where he carves up the defense, even a good defense. I like the under as a best bet here at 45. I just don't think we'll get a ton of points from the Packers or the Bears combined in this spot.
So I have the Packers. I do have the Packers, like RJ, as a teaser, as one part of my teaser. But okay. I just 8.5 just seemed like a lot to me, and I wanted to lay it, but just seemed like too many.
Yeah, I just worry about the under is that Packers could score a bunch early, and then giving up a little garbage time point to the Bears, they get to 20 when they probably shouldn't, and then your under's kind of screwed up.
Oh yeah, could definitely see it happening. Like Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams have 3 passing touchdowns in the first 15 minutes of the game, and I'm like, well, that under was fun, but I'm going to take it anyway.
By the way, you didn't even go over our records for last week. I got lucky to get to 500.
This is what happens when I don't have Debo. I'm a
You're a mess.
I'm a thriftless shell of myself.
Basically, everyone was around 500 last week. I think two people were on 500. Pete might have went one game over. I was one game under. Everybody's still over 500 for this.
I think I was only 500, RJ.
Okay, so maybe Kenny was the one that went one game over. When I looked at it, I saw one person was one game over. I was one game under. Everybody's over 500 for the season still. So still solid numbers overall, but we're looking for the big successful week like we had at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
We're treading water. We're not going to always be, you know, sprinting down the, you know, it's a marathon. You got to tread some water, take a break, drift a little bit. Chiefs and Buccaneers, a great game. I mean, a huge game, and actually a huge game, you know, when you factor in the Steelers and Ravens we'll be playing on Sunday as well, because the Chiefs are trying to chase down the Steelers for that number one seed. I believe they will have the tiebreaker strength of victory, depending on what game the Steelers would lose, but that's, you know, something to consider. If the Chiefs are on the table, the Steelers might have to run the table and go 16-0 to get the one seed, which is nuts. Chiefs -3.5 at Tampa Bay, Pete, total of 56.
Yeah, this isn't one of my best bets. This is one of those games where you sit back and relax and watch it and enjoy it because, I think it's going to be a fun game for Mahomes and gang. Back-to-back road games, always concerning. I know the stadiums are different and it's, you know, than they used to be and what we're used to. Tom Brady's 0-for-15 on his last 20 throows over 20 yards. I mean, 0-for-15 on his last 15 throws, 20 yards or more. That's bad. He just didn't look good. And, I think the Chiefs will come in here and be able to score. We saw Jared Goff carve up that, you know, Tampa Bay defense. You don't line up and you run the ball. Well, who's the best passer in the league? Patrick Mahomes is. If I leaned it to it one way, I would take the Chiefs for sure.
Yeah, the Rams exposed that Tampa Bay pass defense on Monday. Mahomes should have a field day here. I think Tampa is still bound to bounce back from an awful offensive game. I mean, they can run against a Kansas City defense, and that'll help Brady out some. For whatever reason, they didn't try to run at all against the Rams, and he needs that running game. And that's where KC struggles on defenses against the run. Bucks are still likely a great team. They may not be, you know, the best team, a Super Bowl favorite, but they're still a great team. It would still be in everybody's, you know, top tens and you know, ranking among the top tier teams in the league. And great teams should not be 3.5-point home dogs to anyone. So I'm not going to make it a best bet because of how bad Tampa's looked and how many points Kansas City can score whenever they want. But I would lean Tampa, especially if you're getting the hook there with the +3.5.
Yeah, it's a lot of points for the Chiefs to be laying. As good as they've been, I take it back. It's not crazy. The Chiefs could easily cover this, but I think one of the things that you need to look at with Tampa Bay and their lack of success, people keep pointing to the primetime stuff. I don't think it's primetime. Brady's fine at primetime. It's not, as John Breach implied, the fact that Tom Brady's out past his bedtime. What it is more likely is that Tom Brady and the Buccaneers aren't good against great pass rushes or great defenses this year. And that's just the reality. They haven't been good against those teams. The Chiefs have a good defense, not a great defense. Maybe they'll come on strong like they did last year, but I think this turns into a shootout. You know, we've seen the Chiefs and the Buccaneers put up a ton of points, or, you know, individually. And I don't know that you're going to – I don't think Andy Reid's teams tend to go under when he's forced to run the football. You ain't running the football against the Buccaneers. They're going to attack down the field. They're not going to slow down the Chiefs. And I don't think the Chiefs will slow down Tom Brady getting a little vertical here either. The Buccaneers will need to come and play and play well. I like the over 56 here, a ton of points. I don't care. I will take the over in that spot. We got a spicy AFC East game, sort of. The Dolphins coming off the first loss in like a month. The Jets still haven't won a game. The Dolphins are trying to hang around in the playoff talk, and the Dolphins are 7-point road favorites in New York with a total of 44.5. And Pete, I believe you have a best bet here.
I do, on the Jets.
Again,
Jets. And you know what? I think they have a legitimate chance to win the game. How about that? I just don't think Miami is that good. I think Tua getting pulled last week was a bad look for him and a bad look for the team. And I think he's going to struggle here, even though Jets stink on defense and everybody throws all over him. He just hasn't looked that good. And they clearly lack the confidence in him by pulling him in that situation. So I think the Jets did some decent things on offense against the Chargers last week. And I think they're going to show up and play in this game. I think they have a chance to win it. I'm not saying they will, but I will take the Jets plus the points. That's way too many points.
Pete's clapping his hands like Hercules when he talks about the Jets. I love it. I also have the Jets as
a best. I do think though that Pete has like kind of been onto something here where he picked the right time to jump on the Jets against the spread bandwagon. Like he's done a good job of sort of identifying when they were a value, which is not easy to do for a winless team.
Yeah, it's big getting that offense healthy and getting those guys back. They actually have receivers to throw to. I have a best bet, Jets plus seven as well. I am also on the Jets money line. I think they are going to win this game. I think they can win this game, but I think they are going to win this game. In four games since the bye, the Dolphins have scored 11 touchdowns, but only four touchdown drives of more than 33 yards. They had one game where they had three good touchdown drives, and then the rest of them, it's all these lucky bounces and defensive scores and special team scores and short fields. The Jets offense is now healthy, and they've had back-to-back games with 27 plus points despite playing Joe Flacco at quarterback. You know, Sam Darnold could be back for this game. I think that would be an upgrade, but even if Flacco plays, they're going to be in this game. Only one of the seven touchdowns that they've had in that two-game span where they've scored 27 plus points was a short drive. The rest are 70 plus yards. They can move the ball down the field. They can get into the end zone. Dolphins have not shown that ability. And then with Tua getting benched, you know, we'll see how that works, but that's just not a good offense right now. You know, I'm not sure that offense is good enough to beat a bad Jets defense, as bad as the Jets defense is. So maybe the Miami defense gets another big play for a gift touchdown, but even if that happens, I'm not sure they cover the seven anyway. Way too many points on the road for a team with an offense that isn't good. Take the Jets. Think about taking a little bit on the Jets money line. Think about taking a little bit on the Jets Jaguars money line parlay for plus. This could be a crazy weekend.
Jets Jaguars, and maybe you could even if you're feeling really frisky and you want to get your party started early on, you could go Lions, Texans, Jets, Jaguars, moneyline parlay.
Lions, Washington.
Lions, Washington. Sorry.
Right.
What do you think about that? And all of a sudden you get one of those, you get both of those Thanksgiving games and all you're thinking Jets, Jaguars coming up on Sunday.
Yeah. I would have just go Jets, Jaguars. Like, what if you do that and you lose the Lions one and then you win the Jets, Jaguars? How dumb do you feel at that point?
Pretty stupid.
Jets. You think the Jaguars are going to win? Oh, well, okay. RJ clearly has the best bet on the Jaguars.
I think they could win. I think it's different from this one. I think they could win. But I just we'll talk about that one in a minute. I don't necessarily think they will, but I think they could.
Okay. I didn't include the Jaguars on the list, did we? Because they aren't up on the board.
No, they're in there.
Okay, they are in there. Good. Again, Debo not here this week. I'm a mess.
What would you do if somebody didn't hold your hand every damn day?
Probably walk around with no pants on and forget to shower.
It's unbelievable. It's
the past. It's like The Simpsons. Just watch the episode of The Simpsons and you'd see how Will Brinson would act.
It's unbelievable. Like
Homer Simpson.
He's a mess.
I know. Like, yeah, look, ooh, a crayon. I'm shoving like an orange crayon up my brain. like Homer. You remember they pull the crayon out of Homer's brain and he turns into a genius? Without the crayon or something.
What'd they pull out of his brain?
The crayon.
I think he got the crayon jumped.
He jammed the crayon in his brain.
He turned him into a genius. And then they took it out because it was a health risk and it turned him back into the same old Homer. It was a very,
you said crown.
Very sweet episode.
It's a, what do you call it? A crayon or a crown? Crown.
Crayon.
It's a crayon.
It's a crayon if you want to.
There's people say that differently, by the way.
Crayon. It's crayon. Yeah, if you want to say it in the King's English, Peter, it is crayon.
Were you good with crayons when you were a kid?
No, but my son's pretty good with them.
I was good. I used to draw plays when I was four.
Ooh, I can see that. That's very on brand for you, Pete. Okay, moving along to the next game. The Cardinals. Oh, no, that's not. I cannot get this order right. I'm a total disaster. The Raiders, -3 at the Falcons, total of 55. Pete, who do you like in this game?
I like the Falcons. The Raiders put a lot into that game last week against the Chiefs and actually played really well, and I was impressed with what they did. But I still think they have major defensive problems. The Saints got all over Matt Ryan. The pass rush affected him, impacted him in a big way. The Raiders aren't as good on that side of the ball, so I think they're going to score. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. But I think the Falcons, you talk about a team on the money line, I'd probably take the Falcons as well here. Are you going to give me the points at home? I'll take them. I'll take the Falcons.
Yeah, the look at Edwards. Look ahead was a pick'em, so this is a big line move after Atlanta completely flopped against New Orleans. I can't take Atlanta again. I took Atlanta in that game, and that offense disappeared. This is an easier defense for them to solve, though. But you know, what about Julio's health? We don't know. It's Wednesday. We don't know how Julio's going to look. If he's back, you know, I lean to the Falcons and the over, but I'm going to stay away here and just make it a lean. Raiders, I think, are legit offensively. I still don't trust their defense. 32nd in points per drive, so that's where I would be on the over. But Julio has to play.
I like the over as well. I just think this is a Raiders team that's going to be involved in the over, but I agree with you. If Julio's not playing, that's a big problem. The Julio and Kenny Galladay are really this season the two guys that are Jenga pieces for their respective offenses each week. When Kenny Galladay doesn't play, the Lions fall apart unless they magically put up 40 points yesterday without him. Then ignore that. And when Julio Jones doesn't play, Matt Ryan is just a much worse quarterback. So I like the over as well in that spot. But I agree, if Julio Jones plays, I think regardless, I will also take the Raiders as a best bet. I think the Raiders are a good football team, and they're going to pound the Falcons. So I believe Pete and I are against each other.
That's a good sign.
That is a good sign for you.
Yeah.
Chargers at Bills, Pete. Bills minus 5.5, a total of 53.5.
And I looked at the weather. It's supposed to be like 48 and sunny, which is a good thing for a lot of points. Both defenses have all kinds of problems, and I think both quarterbacks are playing really good football. I think there's going to be a ton of points in this game up and down the field. And I think the Bills will play it a lot like they did a couple weeks ago when they just threw it and threw it and threw it and threw it. They'll throw it all over the place. And I think Herbert's going to throw it all over the place as well. So I like the over. In fact, that's one of my best bets is the over in this game.
I also have a best bet in this game. I am the constant Bills pessimist, apparently, because my best bet is the Chargers plus 5.5. This is the spot to take the Chargers. They're healthy. They're healthier on defense. They're getting healthier all over, but they're on big, you know, medium underdogs against a good team that is flawed, though. I think Buffalo, as good as they played this year, they've had flaws exposed throughout the year. That Chargers offense has been really good outside of the Dolphins game. They can score against a mediocre Bills defense that hasn't really stopped anyone this year. And that Chargers defense, like I said, healthier now. They still aren't giving up much yardage lately, despite giving up high scores on the scoreboard. The yardage numbers haven't been there. But the key stat here for me is Buffalo's 26th in third down defense, and the Chargers offense is 7th. I think the Chargers can extend drives and rally back if needed to get that backdoor cover if they happen to be down, you know, 10, 12 points, something like that. Buffalo probably going to win the game, but you can't expect them to win big against a good offense. I think it's going to be a close game no matter which way it goes. So love the Chargers plus 5.5.
Yeah, that's too many points for the Chargers. I agree with you. I don't have anything in this game as a best bet, but I would lean towards both the Chargers and the over if I was making a bet in this particular game. Pete, any thought on the actual game itself?
Buffalo.
Okay, so no parlay here. We got to put together a parlay at some point. But I mean, I think Buffalo is the better team, and I certainly believe that the Chargers can lose, but I think typically they're going to lose a close game. So I will go with the Chargers plus 5.5, but just as a lean. Pete, we have Saints minus 5.5 at the Broncos, total 43.5. Your thoughts?
This is my anti-Taysom Hill pick. I just don't believe in Taysom Hill. I just don't. I think he's one of those guys, had a okay game against an awful defense, and everybody's propping him up like he's the greatest thing in the world. It wasn't fantastic. It was average at best. He didn't throw a touchdown pass against a bad defense, and now he's going to play a good defense. And the defense is playing a lot better, and I think it's going to be problematic for him. This wouldn't be a shock to me if Denver win the game, but I'll take them plus the points as one of my best bets.
I really wanted to fade Taysom Hill too with that exact same logic. I can't see him being good twice in a row like he was there. But Denver's coming off an upset win at home. That's typically not a spot I'm looking to play a team, you know, a team that isn't that good in Denver to win back-to-back games or stay close to it in back-to-back games. But that second one against a really good team overall. Denver's offense is 32nd in DVOA, 30th in points per drive, but they've had 400-plus yards in three of their last five games, so I don't really know if they're a good offense or a bad offense. You know, it's just the numbers kind of disagree there. But that New Orleans defense, I do know, they are stellar. They've been three great games in a row. Defense is on top of their game. They might get the New Orleans cover even if Taysom is bad, I think. You could see the Saints winning a 23-10 game with a defensive touchdown from the Saints, and that wouldn't be that shocking to me. So I'm just going to lean to Denver. I don't have the gumption to put it as a best bet here like Pete does.
Yeah, I am a little nervous by them as well. Although Vic Fangio, for as much as he can't get the offense going in a big way, and it seems like Drew Lock is sort of struggling to find things, and it's just not impressive. The defense keeps, you know, looking really good. Like he's coaching up that defense. Bradley Chubb is low key having a great season. He's top 10 in edge pressures, in the entire NFL on the course of the season. I think 6.5 sacks and, 10, maybe 15 quarterback hits over just 10 games. So really good season from him without Von Miller there. Pete, your boy Justin Simmons has been awesome this year and deserves all pro recognition. And I just think, I think the Broncos will keep it close because that's what they do. But the Taysom Hill factor and how Sean Payton schemes him up is a little concerning for me.
So do you like Denver too? RJ likes Denver.
Yes.
And I like it. So let's put it in a parlay.
By the way, all right, let's put the Broncos plus 5.5 in a parlay. Dude, should we add the Jets in the parlay?
I was going to say, before we fill up the parlay, make some room for the Jets.
Yeah, let's make the Jets. All right, so Jets plus 7, Broncos plus 5.5. There's a ton of road chalk this week.
Yeah.
A ton of it.
And I got roped into taking a lot of the home dogs too.
I like a lot of the home dogs out there. Would you moneyline parlay the Broncos and the Jets?
I would.
All right.
I just don't know about that offense against the Saints defense. That's my only concern here. The Saints are a really good team. They're like number one in DVOA. I think they're somewhere near the top in DVOA. It's just hard for me to picture them laying a complete.
But don't you think they come down a little bit this week, RJ? I mean, they play the division rival at home. And granted, the Falcons aren't good, but it was Taysom Hill. You rise up your game to try and cover for him. And now you go out on the road in the altitude. I don't know. I just think it's a tough scenario.
What does coming down look like? Does it look like 10 points, 13 points? Does it look like 17, 20 points.
Even in that game, as dominant as they were, the Falcons had the ball to cut it to a one-score lead. Remember, they hit the fourth down play to Julio, could have cut it to a one-score game if they go in there. And so it was dominant on defense. It wasn't dominant on offense. And that's why I think that they could lose that game. We'll see. I don't know. I just think Denver's defense is playing really well.
Let's do this. One unit, Jets, Broncos against the spread, and then sprinkle, I don't know, let's say if your unit is $50, put $10 on the moneyline parlay.
I'm good.
All right.
You got a third team to add to that moneyline parlay here in a sec.
Ooh, okay. Well, let's get to it. Titans at the Colts. Colts minus 3.5, Pete, total 51.5.
Yeah, this game is interesting because they played a couple weeks ago, and it was a blowout in the second half, but it was a close game. And so for that standpoint, it's hard to evaluate that. So, but I would lean to the Colts a little bit because I think back-to-back road games for the Titans, I know they rallied to win that game last week, but I would probably lean to the Colts. Not a best bet, but I would definitely lean to Indy.
Yeah, I lean to Indy too. It's a revenge spot here for Tennessee after Indy beat them up on Thursday Night Football a few weeks back. Tennessee offense held under 300 yards in 3 of the last 5 games. All of them came against good defenses, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Indy. Indy qualifies as a good defense. Obviously, they're in that list. Indy offense is starting to find a groove. They've had 30-plus points in 4 of their last 5, including that Tennessee game. But this is Tennessee season, so it's only a lean to Indy for me because I think all the matchup stuff does benefit Indy, but Tennessee could throw the kitchen sink here. They have a great head coach. I would like if you get to Indy minus 3, I would at that point probably make Indy a solid bet. But at 3.5, I'm just going to stay away.
Yeah, 3.5 makes me a little nervous too. I tend to like over in this spot, possibly. It's easy to like overs with Tennessee, but you know Indianapolis is prone to trot out Rodrigo Blankenship and kick a bunch of field goals. So that would be of slight concern to me. But if I had to take a pick here, it would be the Colts. No best bet. I think Indy knows that, you know, it's Tennessee season, but this is the division championship. I mean, this is the division title game for Indianapolis too.
And by the way,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, by the way, the Broncos were second part of my teaser with the Packers. It was Broncos Packers. Yeah.
Okay. So, getting them up to 11.5 then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't, you know, it's when you have those type of spots where it is a de facto playoff game, you know, for these teams, I think coaches do tend to get a little more conservative. So under would be the look there if you're looking at the total.
Okay. Let's look at the Browns. Minus 6.5 at the Jaguars. The total is 49, Pete. Mike Glennon, my guy. Mike Glennon, starting for the Jaguars. This is their third quarterback of the year. They're hosting the Browns. Are they tanking, or do you think they can pull off a win here?
They're playing him because Doug Marrone thinks he can win more with him. I mean, they only played Luton to find out what he was for the future, and it's clear the future doesn't include Doug Marrone. So he's going to play who he thinks gives him the best opportunity to win, and that would be Mike Glennon. He's a veteran quarterback. He's seen a lot more. I just don't think they're very good on defense. They played better last week against Pittsburgh, but now Josh Allen's gone. I mean, they're banged up on that side of the ball. Their corners, they don't even know who they're going to be next, there, except for Trey Herndon. I think there's going to be opportunity to run the ball at will against them, which we know Cleveland can do. And I just don't believe in Mike Glennon. I don't think he's very good. So I will take Cleveland minus the points. I don't love it, but I will lay the points.
Mike Glennon isn't good, but he is NFL replacement level. He's been in this league for a long time, and he is good enough to remain in the league for a long time. Jake Luton might be out of the league in 2-3 years. You know, he can be moving on. So I don't think you can consider them anywhere near the same type of backup. Glennon has proven himself. And because of that, I love the Jaguars here. Best bet to the Jaguars, +6.5. Would have loved it more if Minshew played. I think that, Jaguars can win this game because Marrone isn't tanking, like Pete said. He's trying to put wins on his resume for his next opportunity. I'm pretty sure he knows at this point he's not going to be in Jacksonville, but it looks good if you can come out and win these games. And that Jacksonville defense, not good. You know what other defense might not be good? The Cleveland defense. They're missing Myles Garrett again. Denzel Ward is likely out. He's their only cornerback that I trust. They're already giving up 37 points per game in their four road games on the road. They 38, 38, 38, and 34. They are not a good defense to take on the road. And there's nothing good about that Jacksonville D, but Cleveland scored just 38 points total on their three game homestand. So I know some of the weather affected some of that, but I can't trust them to come out, run the ball down Jacksonville's throat and score a ton of points here because that's just not how they've been the last few weeks. I don't trust Baker Mayfield throwing the ball, especially with Beckham gone. So I don't know that the Browns can score a ton of points. I think the Jaguars can stay in this game, make it a game, and possibly win at the end.
I kind of like it. Now, is this the team you were referencing that you want to throw in the money line parlay? Because it doesn't sound like Pete is going to agree with us there.
Right. I don't think it's not a Pete team, but Jaguars Jets money line parlay for all the money.
No, Jaguars Broncos is better. I mean, Jets Broncos is better.
Jets Broncos, whew, man, spicy. I like it. I mean, I wouldn't hate throwing all three of them in a money line parlay. Just sprinkle $10 on it. I mean, you're gonna cash. Maybe sprinkle $20 on it if you really want to make some cash. It could happen. This feels like a crazy week in the NFL. Just, you know, it's early. We'll see what happens with these Thanksgiving games, the two game slate. But I don't know. I like the Jaguars too. That's too many points. The Browns are sort of a fraudulent team. Now, could they go to Jacksonville and just pound the ball with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb? Absolutely. And that would lead to Mike Glennon being forced to throw a ton. But I do think you can run. Myles Garrett's not going to play in this game. You can run against the Browns. James Robinson could have a big game here. Look, Mike is, as RJ points out, a replacement level quarterback in the NFL. Like, he is a good backup. He doesn't have a ton of pieces around him, but this is, I mean, he's on a 1-year deal with the Jaguars, and he's getting a shot to start on Thanksgiving. This is a pretty big deal for him, considering as a backup quarterback, you're playing for another contract. If he goes out and plays really well, he can convince somebody to give him some big cash in the offseason, and I think that he loves playing. He's going to keep playing. And every opportunity he gets, he's gotten hosed at different spots for various reasons, whether it's in college or at the NFL, and I think he'll go out there and he'll play really well. I mean, he's not an elite quarterback, far from it, but I think he'll have a good day. I like this Jaguars money line. I like the Jaguars against the spread. Moving along to the Panthers and Vikings. Vikings -4, Pete, total 48.5.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Well, who's going to start a quarter? It looks like Teddy Bridgewater will start against his former team, or at least it looks that way. Will McCaffrey play? We don't know. I'd be careful with him if I were the Panthers. But I just think that the Vikings blew an opportunity last week to get back into the playoff race. And so where's their head and what's the deal with Thielen? And I mean, there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. I would lean to the Vikings in this spot. I don't love it on either way. So my pick is the Vikings, but it's not a best bet.
Yeah, I didn't really like either side of the spread, but I have a best bet over 48.5. Should have Teddy back facing a D that just struggled against Andy Dalton. Teddy's better than Andy Dalton. He's got good weapons here. He doesn't have like the Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb, all those weapons, but pretty good weapons in Carolina. They showed in the first half of the year, they were pretty solid offensively. That Panthers shutout likely a mirage. You expect them to revert back to giving up 400 yards a game and 25 plus points per game the way that they had been doing before they got to play Matthew Stafford that only had one thumb. The defense hasn't had a break break all year. The bye's around the corner. I think they could be spent here for Carolina. And even if Thielen doesn't make it back, I think the Vikings are going to score enough to push us over with Jefferson and Cook leading the way against a defense that hasn't been good. So love the over here. 40.5 just seems at least 3 points too low.
I can get down with that. I think that's a low total. I also think that sometimes Carolina gets a little bogged down in terms of their scoring. Maybe if PJ Walker is playing, we'll see what happens there. But if, you know, they seem to push the tempo with him a little bit. No Christian McCaffrey, of course, but look, the easy best bet here that I'm not going to take credit for, but I'm going to keep pointing out is the Dalvin Cook over rush yards. They lost and he still got there. He still got there against the Bears. He got there against the Cowboys. He's going to get there against the Panthers. It has to be 125 rush yards for me not to take the over on Dalvin Cook rush yards as a prop. Now, again, I'm not going to take that as a best bet because we don't do that on this podcast, but that's what I'm slamming for the next couple of weeks. So Dalvin Cook over rush yards every week that you get a chance. Now, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll rip through the rest of the games.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Seahawks -5 at the Eagles. The total is 50. Pete, what do you think about this game?
Well, Seattle went there and beat them twice last year, once in the regular season, once in the playoffs. If they played right now in the playoffs, they would go there again. Think about that, the way they're seeded out right now. I don't think it'll stay that way, but I think Seattle goes in there and we'll throw the football around. We know Wilson can do what he can do. And I think their defense has played a lot better. I mean, the Eagles' offensive line is bad. And we thought Peters would be able to hold up. He's not holding up. His body's breaking down. He's a shell of himself. And I thought Seattle showed something in their last game against Arizona, much better on defense. So I'll take Seattle minus the points. I hate laying that many points on the road in prime time, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah, you're right. Seattle's defense has been playing better the last few weeks. You know, it seems hard to think that the Seattle defense can keep the back door closed and cover the big number here if they're up 10, 11 points. Seems like the Eagles can get a late touchdown just the way the Seattle season has gone. But, you know, that defense is playing better and that Philly offense has gotten healthier, but it hasn't gotten better. You know, their defense hasn't been causing many turnovers, 29th in turnover percentage. Russ didn't have any turnovers last week. I think he's past those issues that he had in that 4-game span where he just kept turning the ball over. So yeah, it just seems like the lean here should be to Seattle. A little too many points for me to go on the road here. Just because I still worry about that defense giving up a backdoor cover, but, I would lean that way.
Yeah, I would take the Eagles. I think it's a back. Look, this feels like all this road chalk stinks. This much road chalk. I mean, maybe all these, maybe home field advantage doesn't matter anymore, but I mean, should the Eagles really be just -+5 in given like how, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like do you, RJ, do you think that factors in home field advantage at all?
I don't think they're giving a ton for home field advantage at this point because the road teams have covered more than home teams this year. So I think it has adjusted a little bit down. You know, we don't see a lot of 3-point spreads anymore. We're seeing a lot of these 2.5s and twos a lot more than we used to. So I do think that is a factor in here. But yeah, I don't know if I can get with you, the Eagles. I mean, they just have not looked good all year.
They're terrible. But it is, I mean, look, it is a home field game. You know, it's a home game in primetime. I think home primetime dogs have been better the last few weeks than they had early on in the season. And let's not sleep on the fact that this is the Eagles' friggin' Super Bowl. I mean, they gotta like go win this game, and all of a sudden you're back in the driver's seat in a division that you have no business winning. So, I will take the Eagles here.
Plus even five. If they lose the game, they're still alive, Brinson.
Yeah, I disagree on the Super Bowl thing. I think if you're an NFC East team, the only thing you're worried about right now is beating other NFC East teams. That's the only thing that matters really in your division. Do that, you get to the playoffs.
Right, yeah. I don't like it as best bet. I'm just telling you, I would take the, I like the over here though. I think Eagles will score. I think Eagles get 21.
What's the weather like, though, Monday?
I don't know the answer to that.
Are you expecting Carson Wentz to play a full 60 minutes?
No, it's Jalen Hurts, 60 minutes.
And I like the over, too.
Oh, man, dunking on Carson Wentz. What could be better? Cardinals, -2.5 on the road. Bill Belichick, a home dog to Cliff Kingsbury. 2020 is screwed up, Pete. The Pats are +2.5 at home. Total, 49.5. What do you think?
I had a tough time with this game. I mean, you know, Arizona was terrible, I thought, on offense last week. And, you know, they get rested. Now they got to go travel again. And New England was awful on defense. I mean, Deshaun Watson came out and threw it and threw it and threw it, and they threw more on first down. It was nice to see for them. They're doing more of that in Houston. And I think Arizona will do that in this spot. But I had a hard time. I don't love the game. I'll take the Cardinals. But I don't love it, and it's scary to lay those points on the road against Belichick.
Yeah, I lean to the Cardinals, too. The only reason it's not a best bet is because we don't know about Kyler Murray's shoulder at this point of the week. So if he gets to Friday, you guys are listening to this, and you're confident that Murray's healthy and he's going to be fine, I would roll with Arizona, especially if you can still get 2.5. I think the Arizona's going to roll. That defense in New England somehow is terrible, and I never thought you'd see that with a Bill Belichick team, but 32nd in DVOA, like I keep bringing up. The offense has had some good games lately for New England, but Arizona's D isn't Houston or the Jets' D. They're 11th in DVOA and 3rd in red zone percentage. They can actually get some stops when they need to. New England's high score in the last 7 games is 30. Arizona had 5 straight games of 30-plus before that Thursday night loss. So I think Arizona can get the 30 here for sure against a bad defense if Kyler is healthy, and that seems to be about where New England tops out. So this could be 30-20. It could be something like that, and I think that might have been the exact score that Pete predicted in his picks column, which I edited last night, was 30-20, and that seemed very realistic to me.
Yeah, I'll take the under as a best bet here because the Cardinals, people think of them as this high scoring team, and I get that the Patriots don't stop anybody, but Arizona is quietly methodical, eat up a ton of clock. I do think Arizona will win. I don't mind them as a very nice play either, even though I've been talking of road chalk or, you know, as dangerous, and this is as dangerous as it gets. Kingsbury could be outmatched by Belichick here. I'm not sure it'll really matter. I think Belichick wants to slow the game down. Rex Burkhead, done for the year. Could see a lot of Damian Harris, a lot of Cam Newton rushing the ball. And I think Cam Newton will get up for this game, but I'm not sure it matters. Put Patrick Peterson or Jacoby Myers and force Demir Byrd to beat you. I don't think there'll be a lot of points in here. I think this will be a lot more methodical than people think. 50 is a bit high for me. So I will take the under here as a best bet. Just a few more games to go in this slate. The Giants -6 at the Bengals. The Giants are 6-point favorites on the road. Total 43, Pete. What do you think?
Brandon Allen. No.
Ryan Finley got benched. We're going to get 4 NC State quarterbacks starting this week, and Brandon Allen's ruining it.
Yeah, well, they must know something in practice that we don't know. And I mean, Finley was terrible last week, but I think they feel like Brandon Allen gives a better chance to win. I don't think they're going to win this game. I think the Giants are starting to play good football, a better football, and they're clearly in the division race. Joe Judge has done a good job with that team. They've responded to him. Daniel Jones didn't turn the ball over in the last game. That's huge for them. And I think they're rested coming off their bye. So I will take the Giants and lay the points. Hard to believe I'm laying that many points on the road, but I'm going to without Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Giants -6 on the road is crazy. I know that they're playing better and they're in the quote unquote playoff race, but if you're racing 4 boats and the other 3 boats are taking on water, it doesn't really matter how good your boat is. You're in the race, you know, anything can happen there. But that's a brutal injury for Burrow. I just can't see how Cincinnati rallies back and gets up for this game. Cincy's D struggled, but they also played a lot of solid offenses this year. They only allowed 20 versus Washington, which hasn't been a solid offense. The Giants offense hasn't exploded for big point totals. They're just 28th in points per drive. Best bet here for me is under 43. I've seen Brandon Allen play pro football, so I think the under is going to be a good bet here with this game. And the Giants are the other part of my teaser. Tease them down to pick them. Take them to win this game. I just don't think the Bengals are going to show up for this game. And even if the Giants offense doesn't play well, they're going to get the win. So teaser for me is Giants, pick them, and Packers -2.5, and best bet under 43 in this game.
Yeah, Giants DST is a viable play in DFS and regular fantasy. They could create turnovers, and that would be my only concern about the over-under is that the Giants might have a score or two on defense. I mean, that's how bad the Bengals offense could be. T. Higgins has been a really nice piece for them. Tyler Boyd, excellent. A.J. Green actually scored last week. Don't think it matters with Brandon Allen. There's no Joe Mixon. This is not a great spot for the Bengals, obviously. I wouldn't take the Giants as the best bet, but that would be my pick in that spot. I might have a light slate here because of all my terrible hosting duties that I'm handling so far on this slate. Plus, you got plenty of other college basketball to bet on. You have to load it up with college football or with professional football. 49ers at the Rams. Rams -7, total here of 45, Pete.
This is an overreaction line. I really believe that. We saw the Rams on Monday night. They were outstanding on both sides of the ball against Tampa Bay. But this is a division game. And they know each other, and the 49ers are coming off their bye. They're rested. I think they probably could have Mostert back in this game, which I think would be big for them. I know the Rams have played great defense this year, but you're giving me more than a touchdown. I'm taking it. And this is one of my best bets. I'm taking the Niners plus touchdown in this game.
Yeah, I think there's probably some value on -7 for those reasons you said. I like the under better. I think it's a expected field position game. I'm still not taking it as best bet. I would just lean that way. San Fran won the first meeting 24-16. I'd be surprised if they scored that many points with the Rams defense shining. That San Francisco defense had a rough run before the bye, but they did have to play three top offenses. It was Seattle, Green Bay, and New Orleans. I mean, you're going to have struggles no matter what defense you are in that spot. So I think you could be better here against a rival they know well. Shanahan in this coaching matchup, he knows his team well. So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I think there is value on the 49ers if you do want to go that way, but 49ers and or under would be the look here.
Yeah, I got no interest in taking either of the teams here. The Rams are playing well, but it is a come down spot for them. Of course, you are on shorter rest. You have to play a divisional rival. And I think those don't unders typically perform well in the second divisional matchups.
That sounds right, but I don't have the data for that.
I think that's right. We saw that with who was it the other day? Seattle, Arizona.
Under. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that works out. So I don't mind the under here at all. Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are just younger versions of Pete Carroll. Like they're, an offensive minds, not defensive minds. Like in terms of conservative nature, they're really conservative. And we saw it on Monday Night Football. And I think we can see it in this spot too, because, the Rams don't want to come out here and they're not going to come out just like slinging it, trying to embarrass the 49ers. They want to make sure they get this divisional win. It's huge in that divisional chase. So I like that under a lot. It's not one of my best bets because RJ made it one of his, but I think it's a pretty good wager there. All right.
Well, take it. I didn't make it a best bet.
Yeah. No, I don't want to steal from you.
I didn't take it.
Is that the last game on the slate?
That's all of them.
That's all the games. Holy cow. With all Devo's lack of preparation, we really sped through all these games. He must bog down the clock.
You bogged us down. We would have been out of here in about 10 minutes ago if you didn't bog us down by all your being in 18 different directions.
I'm flying every which way. I'm trying to build out a DFS thing too because I have to record that with Frank in 5 minutes. So let's get out of here. I'll finish building that rundown. Why don't you give me your best bets, each of y'all?
All right, I'll go.
Yes.
My best bet is a teaser of the Giants and Packers. That's my teaser. I got Jets +7. I got Chargers +5.5. I got Jaguars +6.5. I got over in the Panthers Vikings game 48.5. I got under in the Giants Bengals game under 43.
You wanted our best bet or best bets?
Your best bets.
Okay. Jets +7, Falcons +3, Bills Chargers over, 49ers plus the touchdown, Broncos plus the touchdown, and my Broncos Packers teaser. Those are my best bets. I'm taking points in a lot of games at home. I like it.
Yeah, you do like that. All right. I've got a bunch of over-unders and then two games against spreads. So we're all on the Jets +7. I guess I'm on the Broncos too, right? Broncos +5.5 as well. Okay. So I'll do Bears under 45, Chiefs over 56, Jets +7, Broncos +5.5, Seahawks over 50, Raiders -3, Raiders over 55. Am I supposed to do a parlay this week? Because I think you can go to cbssports.com/parlay. Is that the right address? Probably. And you can win up to $1,000 cash by picking teams against the spread. You have to pick five teams against the spread. I will take as my parlay the Cardinals -2.5. I'm going to list six teams, and Pete or RJ can rip one of them off. Cardinals -2.5, 49ers +7, Giants -6, Broncos +5.5, Colts -3.5, and Raiders -3.
Raiders.
Raiders.
Okay. You got the rest of the parlay. And then the Pick Six podcast parlay, Broncos +5.5.
Jets +7.
Jets +7. And that's it, right?
And let's see. Do we like the either the over in the Chargers-Bills game or the over in the Panthers-Vikings game? I think is probably our best bet for a third one.
I like the Chargers-Bills over.
I do too.
Okay, that's it. So two Pick Six podcast parlays this week. One for the full unit, Jets +7, Broncos +5.5, Chargers-Bills over 53.5. And then for just a little sprinkle on the money line, whatever you want to feel like, you're feeling frisky, you'll see the odds when you put it in. Jets, Broncos, money line parlay. And if you want to go with the RJ multiplier special, Jets, Broncos, Jaguars, money line parlay.
Mm. So ugly, it looks good.
If that thing hits, look, here's the reality. If that thing hits, you don't want to be not on it. I mean, it pays out like 25-1. It's got to be, right? Or like 18-1.
If it hits, I want to shoot to the top of the best bets and standings. Count that one for 10 for me.
No, you got to earn your right to get to the top.
Come on, Pete.
All right, we should be back next week after the holidays with Kenny White. Of course, Debo will be back as well. We will have a full podcast schedule for you, though. See you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.